Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Another 25 minutes in this conversation with Dr. Stephen Hine. We're concluding our series on man's failed attempts to reach up to God. Today we're talking about mysticism. If you have a question or a comment, since this is a series, you can ask questions regarding the earlier parts of this series on moralism and rationalism. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I was wondering out loud when we were going into that break, Dr. Hine, whether or not we are training up the next generation of mystics, or perhaps the next generation of disappointed mystics, with a lot of our worship practices. What do you think?
Well, I think that this whole area of mysticism and the attraction of it that we've been talking about really correlates with one other larger element that is deep within our culture today, and that is that the greatest good that we can have in daily life is to feel good. And the worst evil that can befall us is that somehow we're hurting or suffering. And we know the impact that these kind of values have had in the whole area of the use of drugs and the abuse of drugs in the interest of people trying to find through chemistry a better way of feeling better, higher, more often, in a more sustained way. What we're seeing in contemporary mysticism and this brand of religious pursuit, even in the context of the church, it seems to me is an outgrowth of the very same desire. People are turning to the church, they're turning to Christianity or religion in general, in an attempt to try it on, to see if perhaps that might be another avenue that they could explore by which they can have a greater, more pleasant, happier, more fulfilling feeling in daily life.
So it's about filling in the cracks of a life that feels kind of empty here and there, and Christianity says, yeah, we've got just the thing to fill in those emotional voids in your life.
Yeah, either emptiness or pain or suffering or discontent or problems that we have in life. People are looking for experiences that can either take these things away or dull the senses so much that that they aren't bothering us anymore. And I think this has been the root attraction in various forms of mysticism, as this emphasis has really invaded our churches today.
What about a desire to escape? We've talked with you many times about Christian vocation and the neighbor. What about mysticism as a desire to escape others? Just me and God.
Well, it certainly wants to privatize religion. And again, I think that is something that that our culture is trying to press upon spiritual life, particularly Christianity. There is a message out there that we seem to get in so many ways, often subtle, which says it's perfectly all right for you to be a Christian. Just keep it to yourself. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear anything about it. This is something that we think you ought to just see as something that is relevant for your quiet time or for your own internal experiences. So mysticism, in a sense, presents a very culturally cozy form of religious expression because it has no involvement with other people and because it has no impact with other people. It just is all confined to the individual internal experiences of the individual.
This is an email from Kate, who listens in Japan. She writes, I was a follower of Reverend Moon for 20 years. He was a Christian in his youth, Presbyterian, and in his prayers one morning, according to Moon, Jesus appeared and gave him the special mission to be the new Messiah. He claims to have argued with Jesus over the course of a few more visits, saying no to Jesus, but eventually Reverend Moon agreed to do what Jesus asked. I believe the story because I could not believe someone would have the nerve to make it up. What is a mystic to do, asked Kate, when it seems that they are getting a direct word from God that contradicts the Bible, and it seems Jesus himself is giving the new input? And you argue with the input, yet Jesus himself is insisting. What is a mystic to do? Although I left that group, and I have my own criticism of Reverend Moon, I faced that exact situation. If I faced that exact situation, I wonder what I would do. Your thoughts there?
Sure. Again, we want to make this this important distinction. Just because you've had an internal experience of some sort does not tell you who you have had an experience with. You're going to have to provide some kind of interpretation or some kind of an authority from the outside, probably, in order to make some sense out of these things. But one of the things that we know for sure, and that is that God is pleased to reveal himself through his word. He comes to us through his word. He brings his revelation of who he is, what he is like, and how he would be at work in our lives through his external word. That's why he has given us his inspired scripture. If that was not his chosen avenue, well, he probably could just hook up things inside of our brains individually and talk to us that way. But that is not how he has been pleased to work. He has been pleased to work through a word that has greater precision and understanding given to it, which comes through very real human language that is normatively set in terms of its content by the scriptures. And this can give us confidence that the word that we are receiving is not our own word, it's not the devil's word, it's not some religious fanatic's word. It truly is coming from the creator and redeemer of the universe.
Moving from Japan to Australia, where Leto writes this, could Dr. Hine comment on the language of, quote, having a personal relationship with Jesus heard in evangelical circles, and what can he say about this?
Sure. The business of having a personal relationship with Jesus is some kind of a popular lingo and phrase, particularly within conservative Protestant quarters. If we want to just talk about relationship anyways, relationship with God, first of all, is something that he establishes. It is at his doing and bidding, and he does so by creating a relationship that is not made of internal experience. It is rather made of a connection between his saving word and promises and a faith that he creates in our heart. And when he creates relationship, as for instance through baptism, he makes us a new creation of Christ. We are joined to Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in him, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It is to say that you just can't get any closer than in the moment upon which he called and made you his child through baptism by the power of his word. There are no degrees of a relationship with God. You either have one or you don't. And it can't get any closer than that which he makes right there at the moment of conversion.
So the inception of the relationship, the maintenance, if you will, of the relationship, the course of the relationship, God does not leave that to our fickle will,
right,
nor to our feeble ability.
Right. It's not a smorgasbord where God is saying, you know, I'd like to have a relationship with you, and it can be, of course, of several different varieties. What would you like? I'll just go with whatever you'd like, and you just go ahead and call the shots on this. This is not what the creator of the universe and the redeemer who sent his son to die for the world's sins, this is just not what this God is like. He doesn't operate this way at all. He doesn't come hat in hand saying, what would you like to have? I'm willing to accommodate on whatever that is. He just is not that kind of a God that we find in the scriptures.
What about, and I wonder, I don't know if this would apply to the other false means by which men attempt to reach God, but with regard to mysticism, would it be fair to say that truth is boiled down to, for the mystic, the essence of truth is what I feel?
It often comes down to just that. But the problem is that actually it's more than that. It's not just what I feel, but it comes down to what I think about what I feel. Because the feelings don't come all thought out. You have to provide your own thinking about them. And it's the thinking about those experiences which are often more disruptive and more perverting of an authentic relationship that is a faith relationship with Christ than anything else. Because what you think gets disconnected from what God actually has to say and promise in His Word.
So that brings us back around to the sure and solid foundation of the external Word, Holy Scripture, as not only the norm, but also the only reliable place wherein we find truth, or, for that matter, wherein God reveals Himself to us.
Exactly. When God wants to make Himself known, and we saw this in history, when He wanted to make Himself known, He raised up prophets and apostles, and He put His Word into their mouth. And they then came out to God's people and spread out into the world, and they brought the revelation of God and the means by which He comes to us and establishes a faith relationship with us through that proclaimed and taught gospel word. And He does it the same way with us today. It's the same thing today.
To what degree has mysticism bought into the culture's definition of what it means to be spiritual?
Well, I think, again, as we've indicated, I think probably today our culture understands that the essence of being spiritual is having internal religious experiences with someone or something that the individual who is having the experiences thinks is very meaningful in their life. That's what's considered to be what it means to be spiritual. To be spiritual is to be open to those experiences. To be spiritual is to desire those experiences. And that's something quite different than what historic Christianity wants to present to us. It presents to us not a religious experience, but a walk of faith. It is faith and faithfulness that are heartbeat of the Christian life, not internal experience.
We're talking about mysticism as the final part of our series with Dr. Stephen Hine on man's false attempts to reach God. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Well, wouldn't that leave the mystic, the thoroughgoing mystic, in between a rock and a hard place? Because, especially Christian mystics, they're well aware that there are other varieties of mysticism. There's a Buddhism, and there's all sorts of religions that are almost all made up of personal experience. So how does the Christian mystic say, well, my experience is true and theirs is false, my God is true, theirs is false, when no one can gainsay anyone else's experience, and the Buddhist's experience is as deeply felt and experienced as the Christian's is?
I think often the Christian mystic is not particularly paying attention to those kinds of incisive questions. What they really want to grab onto is just simply the experiences that they themselves are having, and they think them to be authentic because they are having them. Or they are attracted to others in a religious community, maybe even in the context of a particular congregation, even a Christian congregation, of other people who talk about their experiences with Jesus in the very same way, or who are pursuing the very same kinds of avenues and offering testimony of the very same kinds of experiences and blessings in their life that have come from those experiences. So in that kind of a community context, they kind of reinforce one another, and they never ask the broader issues about what religiously is being experienced beyond their own circle.
Let's return to the issue of progress and what must be for either the moralist or the rationalist, or in the case of today's conversation, the mystic, an ongoing and nagging worry. Am I really progressing as I should? For the mystic, am I really growing deeper in my relationship with Jesus? Have I backslidden? How am I doing? How am I doing? Must be their daily concern. How does Scripture respond?
I think the Scripture would respond by actually making some distinctions, almost paradoxical kinds of distinctions, between what we are experiencing in life and those things upon which we have a sense of joy and hope. What we experience in life so often in the Scriptures, and if we wanted to turn to some place that really wants to focus in on what the experience of life with God is like, probably no better place than the Psalms. And many of those experiences are basically talking about the anguish and the difficulties and the challenges and even the pain and suffering in life that we have right now, because as David tells us in the 23rd Psalm, we are living with God right now while we, not he, but we are in the valley of the shadow of death. And that valley of the shadow of death, which brings both a fallenness in our environment, which matches a fallenness in our own life, are the things that often captivate daily experience. But the Lord is my shepherd, and he comes to me through his word, and he leads me to ultimately a place where those experiences will change. And those experiences will change when we have been led by those green pastures and the still waters. And as we all know in the context of funerals, that's where, of course, the Christian departed is, when he has entered into the paradise of the fullness of salvation. So it is faith which we are to put our hope in, not our experiences. And yet it is the mystic who wants to kind of turn that on its head, and rather wants experiences, not God's external promises, to be the barometer of how we're doing. That's headed for disaster.
This is an email from Gloria. She asks, is slain in the spirit part of this mysticism? Can you elaborate on what this is supposed to be for the person experiencing this? I have seen people, she writes, in my church fall over backward, looking like they're in a state of unconsciousness or rolling around on the floor and such. By the way, she says this is a Lutheran church, Missouri Synod Church, which is charismatic. Thank you, Gloria, for the email. Dr. Hine, slain in the spirit?
Yes, that expression is usually used to refer to something that more technically is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the experience, supposedly, of having been filled by the Spirit and received that baptism. There isn't anything specifically about that kind of terminology or description about the reception of the Spirit that we find in the Scriptures. But it has no parallel there at all.
It seems to highlight, though, kind of mysticism taken to its nth degree. If, in fact, what is the essence of the Holy Spirit's work to produce an experience or to overwhelm with emotion, slain in the spirit would be right in the line with standard mystic viewpoints, wouldn't it?
Very definitely. Very definitely. This would be front and center, and it is particularly that element of mysticism that Pentecostalism has distributed, contributed, particularly in our own country in the last 100 years.
Finally, let's talk about generally about the false attempts to reach God And if you would, whether it's moralism or speculation, rationalism, mysticism, man builds his ladders, he tries to climb up, and he fails. How, in fact, is man reached by God? Put it in a nutshell for us, Dr. Hine.
Sure. In a nutshell, the way upon which we make contact with God, and I mean by that a contact with God by which we enter into a fellowship with him and enjoy his favor, comes by the power of that preached and taught gospel as it comes to us from the outside in the proclaimed word and in the sacraments. It is in that word which presents to us the saving Christ through his death and resurrection and through his promise of the total and complete forgiveness of sin, that we are wrapped up in his righteousness, and by the power of the Spirit, faith is created in him and those promises. That establishes a relationship with God that is as close as it can ever be, and it establishes a certain relationship with God, which he promises that he will keep forever.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free, complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal. You can also use that number to make a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate by check. Our address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. No gift is too small. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. And you can always donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, based in Colorado Springs, and he spent 23 years teaching theology at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Hine, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd, and such a great topic that we've been able to discuss.
Are you still climbing? Are you still on the ladder? I don't know if the ladder is even an apt metaphor. Perhaps the best metaphor would be a little more modern. The Stairmaster, you know, those things at the gym where you climb and you climb and you climb and you never get any higher, and you wear yourself out and you feel like you're really working hard and doing something. And when you're done, you've worked up a sweat, yeah. You've gotten no higher than you were when you started. Like walking backwards on an escalator. Man's attempts to reach God, whether they be through his deeds, his ideas, or his experiences and emotions, they are always failed because man does not have it in him to reach God, to climb up to God. No, it is Christ's incarnation and his cross. Though that is the ladder, the stairway by which he descended to us to save us from our sin. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you thinking about a gift for your kids or your grandkids for the Easter season? Well, think about our Issues, Etc. book of the month for March, called Easter Is For Me. It's a children's book set in rhyme and verse. It tells the story of Jesus' death and resurrection for sinners. It's the Easter story. You can find Easter Is For Me at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in the St. Louis area. One is on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The other is at 3558 South Jefferson in the city. When you visit, ask for Easter Is For Me, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. Those two locations, 3558 South Jefferson in the city or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, called Easter Is For Me. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org.
6 days, or 6 ages, Which was it? Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis. Ken, I've heard many Christians say that the days of creation refer to periods of time. Can we know for sure how long God took to create the earth?
Well, Mark, I've talked to many Christians who say that God's creation took millions of years to make. Others say we can't know, or it doesn't matter anyway. But it does matter, and we can know for sure. You see, if you're one who says the 6 days of creation were long periods of time, well, ask yourself, where did I get this idea? If we're really honest with ourselves, we didn't get it from the Bible, but from teachers and scientists. This means we've used man's theories to judge God's word. Now, if you start with the language of the Bible, you'll find that the Hebrew word for day, yom, as it's used in Genesis chapter 1, has to mean an ordinary day. And why does this matter? Well, first, it's important to take God at his word. Otherwise, we could change the meaning of any teaching in the Bible. And secondly, as soon as we allow for the millions of years, we've allowed death and suffering before sin, which contradicts the Bible's teaching. So what were the 6 days? 6 24-hour hours.
There's only so much we can cover in 90 seconds on this program, so for more information on this fascinating topic of the 6 days of creation, get Ken Ham's free booklet. We've made it easy for you to get. Go to our website, answersradio.com.
Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief invites you to attend the LCMS Conference on Mercy, April 30th through May the 2nd at the St. Louis Airport Marriott. Keynote speakers include Pastor Harrison, Tim Gagline, Special Assistant to President Bush, and Dr. Leo McKay, who most recently served as the Chief Operating Officer of one of the leading healthcare providers in the U.S. On Tuesday night, a special banquet with entertainment provided by Jazzmax recording artist Aaron Bodie. Meet Issues Etc. regular guests Arthur Just, Beverly Yonke, Larry Rast, Gene Edward Veith, Uwe Simonetto, and more. Plus, we'll be there broadcasting live. Now, for more information, just look for the LCMS Conference on Mercy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. The LCMS Conference on Mercy, April the 30th through May the 2nd in St. Louis.
You'll hear inspiration, information, and Christian conversation on The Morning Show on AM 850 KFUO. Friday, we'll have an author who says children are people too, unlocking the 8 secrets to family happiness. Pastor Warren Worth will talk about the Ark and the dinosaurs. Marty Lindfett will have a devotional for us. And we'll talk with a lay minister about taking Christ to Cambodia. It's happening Friday on The Morning Show on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in the last half hour, as is our wont on any given Thursday, we like to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got 4 soundbites that are culled from this week's Issues Etc. audio. I don't know if this is a first. It may be a first for us to have 2 callers in the lineup. We got 4 soundbites, 2 of them callers, 2 of them guests. We're going to play them for you, and all you have to do is listen to all 4, choose which of these is your Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, and then call us and vote and tell us why you chose the soundbite you chose. Our call-in number, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We are coming to you live this Thursday, the 29th of March. Now, we usually want to point out that people choose their soundbite playing soundbite of the week for a number of reasons. Sometimes they choose them because they find the soundbite outrageous, memorable, infuriating, humorous. Maybe they agree. Maybe they, often our listeners will choose their soundbite of the week because it makes a clear proclamation of the gospel. But sometimes you choose one for a different reason. Your reasons are your own. We do want to know what they are, but there are no right reasons and no wrong reasons for choosing your Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Whichever one stands out to you the most, call us and tell us why. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. First, let's listen to all 4 soundbites that we have culled from this week's Issues Etc. audio. The first one came from a caller, Kathy, And now Kathy's talking about, it's a pet peeve of hers and a pet peeve of mine, too. People who say I'm Catholic, but, or I'm a Lutheran, but, or I'm a Baptist, but. Here's Kathy.
Yeah, this is one of my, I guess, pet peeves is that people, whatever they are, it seems like when, particularly if they're denominational, they're just not very good at what their church, you know, teaches. I mean, they don't believe it. They don't. They say, I'm a Baptist, but I think you can drink. I'm a Baptist, but I think you can live together. I'm a Lutheran, but I believe in decision theology. I mean, you know, where in life do we do things so halfway, except in church? And it seems like the things that have the most importance of eternal significance, are the things that we are the loosest and most careless about. And I think it's a crying shame. And what does it say about us?
All right, that's soundbite number one, Kathy, our caller. Remember it if it's your issues, et cetera, soundbite of the week. And get ready to give us a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and email us. You do need to email early. Email is a lot slower than telephone calls these days. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's soundbite number two. It comes from Dr. Graham Hunter, who was with us earlier this week. We were talking, he had done a review in Touchstone Magazine of Sam Harris's book. Sam Harris is a popular atheist who had written a book. What's the name of the book again, Jeff? What's the name of Sam's book? What's that?
It's not working.
I'm not hearing you.
It's not working.
Okay, we'll get Jeff with us. The End of Faith, that's what it's called, The End of Faith. Well, Dr. Hunter had been on the program talking about The End of Faith, and he had pretty sharp critique of Sam Harris's book, as one might expect. But there was one point where Dr. Hunter agreed with famous atheist author Sam Harris.
The best thing I found in his book was his critique of what he calls religious moderates. That is what people inside religion would call liberals, who take a laissez-faire attitude toward everybody, that, you know, different strokes for different folks and so on, and we don't condemn anything, and who don't actually believe very much either. They don't have any firm commitments. These people, Harris, I think, rightly says they're in error both from a religious point of view and from a secular point of view.
I think the Bible has something to say about being lukewarm, doesn't it, in the book of Revelation? Now, if an atheist can look at lukewarm Christians and say they're hardly any good for anything, if that's the atheist critique, and we Christians can actually find ourselves agreeing with the atheist there, which would be odd because the atheist also agrees with Jesus. Is this your favorite soundbite from this week's Issues Etc. audio? If it is, give us a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The third soundbite that struck our attention here from this week's audio came from Father Donald Armstrong from Grace Episcopal Church in Colorado Springs. It's a 2,500-member congregation there in Colorado that on Monday this week began the process of extricating itself from the Episcopal Church USA. They voted in their vestry, and they're expected to vote the entire congregation to leave the Episcopal Church USA and come under the care of, I believe it's an African bishop. Well, Father Donald Armstrong was on the program, and at one point in our conversation, he was talking about the irony of dealing with the Episcopal Church USA and its hierarchy.
And what's so interesting about that is these are the very people who reject the authority of the rest of the communion, but then insist on enforcing their own authority. They're the very people who snub their nose at the clear edicts of Holy Scripture, but then take canon law and run it literally, with no pastoral concern or care. It's very interesting how they're so interested in property and maintaining the law, but it's the law of the land, and they don't love the law of the Lord at all. They reject the law of the Lord.
Now, that's soundbite number three. If it's your Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Thursday, the 29th of March, playing Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. And this is going to be the fourth soundbite, so I want to start hearing from you right after this. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Soundbite number four is another caller, DB, calling in. And DB, we had asked the question about what presidential candidate should we try and get on the program, and if we had a presidential candidate on the program, what one question should we ask? This was DB's suggestion.
My question would be, are you willing to sacrifice your political career and chance of re-election by upholding or standing for your pro-life position? Because so many candidates claim to be pro-life and are willing to compromise on an issue that I just feel you can't compromise on. These are human lives that we're sacrificing. It's not taxes. It's not even the gay marriage issue, which I'm obviously not for that. But when it comes to human life, whether someone lives or dies, I don't think we can be compromisers. And I would like to hear someone say, yes, I would be willing to sacrifice my career for that principle.
Okay, that's soundbite number four, our caller DB. This is the first time we've had two callers when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Kathy was the first. That's soundbite number one. Kathy talking about how it peeves her a bit to hear people say, I'm a Lutheran, but, or I'm a Catholic, but, or I'm a Baptist, but. That was soundbite number one. Soundbite number two, Dr. Graham Hunter, where he agrees with atheist Sam Harris, in particular on their critique of liberal Christianity. Soundbite number three, Father Donald Armstrong, on the irony of dealing with the leadership of the Episcopal Church USA. And finally, soundbite number four, caller DB, on what question he thinks would be good for a presidential candidate. I like DB's way of thinking for this reason. As I said yesterday, either in matters of politics or in matters of theology, what a person says they believe is one thing, but what they're willing to go to the mat for is another thing. You learn more about what someone really believes and what is really important to them, politically or, more importantly, theologically, by what they're willing to go to the mat for. We're playing Soundbite of the Week. Let's hear from you. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. And let's start with Earl in Houston, Texas. Hi, Earl.
Hi. I vote for soundbite number three. I am an Episcopalian, but I'm also a member of the Anglican Communion. And as far as I'm concerned, the hierarchy or whatever you want to call it that's at the top of the U.S. branch of the Anglican Church has joined Lucifer's team and not God's team. And about the only thing they're intolerant about is people who profess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior.
All right, Earl, thank you very much, and hope you can find a communion that still professes Christ as Scripture professes Him. That's one vote for soundbite number three. Let's see what Steve has to say as he calls from his car. Hi, Steve.
You know, it's interesting. They all have one thing in common, and they're all, four of them are critiques of liberal Christianity. So I'm going to go with number four because it gets right to this chase. So I like number one also because you listen to what the first caller said. She basically said, like a lot of people, I really have no convictions. I claim a mantle, but it doesn't mean anything to me. And that's what the Episcopal Church leadership like. They claim a mantle, but it means absolutely nothing.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. I didn't even know that. You know, we choose these sound bites, and today was genuinely true. Choosing these sound bites as quickly as we could, in literally the last moments before the show is coming on the air. And sometimes we're just searching for the audio that we vaguely remember we heard someplace. I didn't know we were putting together a theme here, Jeff.
No, believe me, we didn't know that either. I think I came to your office at 2:20 and says, think we got time to put together a soundbite of the week?
And I gave you a look like, since I'm the guy who gets to cut up the audio, people probably don't realize this, that we do not have a staff of production people who I can order around like my minions. I do have minions, but they don't do my production work for me. And I gave you a look like, do you really want to do Soundbite of the Week this week?
I actually didn't do too bad cutting up a couple pieces.
No,
today.
You did a good job.
I mean, you had to clean it up for me.
It was not bad. It was not bad for a guy who doesn't know
what,
how to...
What other radio show could do Soundbite of the Week and take their callers? It just shows we got the smartest listeners in radio.
Sometimes the best, I would say consistently, one of the best things about Issues, Etc. is the callers and the listeners always, of course. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. So we got one vote for soundbite number three, Father Donald Armstrong on the irony of dealing with the Episcopal Church USA's leadership, and one vote for soundbite number four, DB the caller, on what one question he would ask a presidential candidate, and that is, what are you willing to destroy your career over? What issue are you willing to go to the mat for? Let's see what Al has to say when he calls from his car. Hi, Al.
Yeah, hi. I was going for soundbite number four.
All right, why so?
Because I think it points to a very important factor is that, you know, if you, what you say, you believe you should act out. In other words, you should follow through and be willing to sacrifice for what you believe. And this is lacking in today's society a whole lot.
All right. Thank you very much, Al. I appreciate it. What about the rest of you? That's two votes for soundbite number four, which puts it in the lead. 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. Lois calls from St. Louis. Hi, Lois.
Good afternoon. I would like to vote for number four also, because I think that a candidate should certainly be willing to go to the mat on something that he thinks is important. And if he doesn't, he obviously doesn't think it's important. And if that one thing that isn't so important isn't pro-life, then I don't want him to rule me, because I want my ruler to care about the weakest and the most helpless members of our society, and that certainly is so are those in the womb.
All right, thank you so much, Lois. You know, I agree. It goes for our politicians, but let's not leave our pastors out of that. It should go for your pastor, too. What he says he believes, if he really believes it, he should be willing to go to the mat for it. And if he isn't, I think it's pretty clear, just like with our politicians, it obviously wasn't that important to him. Where a person is willing to compromise, it's the other way of saying it, where a person is willing to compromise, shave corners, things like that, tells you exactly what their priorities are. How a person behaves in some ways tells you more about what they believe. Did you hear this, Jeff, earlier? You may have been doing something. Dave Peterson, we were on the line with him, and he was talking about teenagers driving their car. And if you ask a teenager who drives recklessly, do you believe you're immortal? They will say, of course, no. But they do, because they drive like they believe it, and they prove what they really believe by what they do. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Give us a call, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the doctrine of vocation, where God has put you in life to live before Him by faith and before your neighbor in love. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest. Sunday night, the events of Holy Week. Somehow, we are going to pack the events of Holy Week into a short conversation with Dr. Peter Scare. That's live Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis, and from 9 to 11 live on the web. Then Monday, we're going to begin a five-part series with Dr. Stephen Hine on the theology of the cross. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've culled some audio from the Issues Etc. audio from this week, and we're playing four pieces for you, asking for you to vote for your Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Before we hear those bites again, let's see what Ellen in Chesterfield has to say. Ellen, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, hi, Pastor Wilkin. You know, Kathy needs a vote here. I mean, I say right on Kathy, this whole idea of I'll do my own thing. Why can't we chase all over town to find a church that I like? I'm starting to feel like denominationalism is sort of going down the drain. I'll hang up on that thought.
All right, Ellen, thank you very much. Well, you could go around a lot of major cities looking for a church that's beliefs actually match what the sign says outside. I think it's time to start suing churches for false advertising. When it says Presbyterian outside, you walk in, and it's obviously a Pentecostal church in what they say, what they sing, what they pray, how they practice. You should say false advertising. Or if it says Lutheran outside and it isn't inside, or Catholic outside and it isn't inside, all these people concerned about properly marketing the church, number one rule in marketing is not mislabeling your product. How far would Coca-Cola get if it labeled its product Pepsi? What? Number one rule in marketing, don't mislabel your product. Tell people what's in it. Even soft drinks have a list of ingredients on the outside so that they're completely, fully disclosing what's inside. Ellen votes for Kathy. That's one vote for soundbite number one. Here it is. Let's listen.
Yeah, this is one of my, I guess, pet peeves is that people, whatever they are, it seems like when, particularly if they're denominational, they're just not very good at what their church, you know, teaches. I mean, they don't believe it. They don't. They say, I'm a Baptist, but I think you can drink. I'm a Baptist, but I think you can live together. I'm a Lutheran, but I believe in decision theology. I mean, you know, where in life do we do things so halfway, except in church? And it seems like the things that have the most importance of eternal significance, and you know, are the things that we are the loosest and most careless about. And I think it's a crying shame. And what does it say about us?
All right, that's soundbite number one. It has one vote as we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Kathy, the caller. Here's soundbite number two, Dr. Graham Hunter, where in his large critique of Sam Harris's book called The End of Faith, Sam Harris is an Atheist, where, in fact, Dr. Graham Hunter agrees with Sam Harris.
The best thing I found in his book was his critique of what he calls religious moderates. That is what people inside religion would call liberals, who take a laissez-faire attitude toward everybody, that, you know, different strokes for different folks and so on, and we don't condemn anything, and who don't actually believe very much either. They don't have any firm commitments. These people, Harris, I think, rightly says they're in error both from a religious point of view and from a secular point of view.
Okay, that's soundbite number two. It has yet to get a vote. By the way, best callers and emailers, not with the best vote, but best comments, will receive our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Easter is for me. It's not April yet, but it is almost April. We'll be giving away Easter is for me, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month, absolutely free to the best callers with comments and questions, or emailers, too. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us. Plenty of time to email issuesetc@kfuo.org. This one has one vote. It's soundbite number three. Dr. Donald Armstrong, his church, 2,500 members, is leaving the Episcopal Church USA. And here's his thoughts on the irony of dealing with that church's leadership.
And what's so interesting about that is these are the very people who reject the authority of the rest of the communion, but then insist on enforcing their own authority. They're the very people who snub their nose at the clear edicts of Holy Scripture, but then take canon law and run it literally, with no pastoral concern or care. It's very interesting how they're so interested in property and maintaining the law, but it's the law of the land, and they don't love the law of the Lord at all. They reject the law of the Lord.
That's soundbite number three. Got one vote, as I said before. Here is our leader so far, soundbite number four, our caller DB from yesterday's program, when we asked, what question should we ask a presidential candidate? Here was his answer.
My question would be, are you willing to sacrifice your political career and chance of election or re-election by upholding or standing for your pro-life position? Because so many candidates claim to be pro-life and are willing to compromise on an issue that I just feel you can't compromise on. These are human lives that we're sacrificing. It's not taxes. It's not even the gay marriage issue, which I'm obviously not for that. But when it comes to human life, whether someone lives or dies, I don't think we can be compromisers. And I would like to hear someone say, yes, I would be willing to sacrifice my career for that principle.
All right, that's soundbite number four. Let's hear from you again. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 505-7850, or call 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Still plenty of time for your phone calls and your email. Number one, Kathy, our caller, has one vote. She's expressing her discontent with people who say they're something, but be it a Presbyterian, Lutheran, or Catholic. Soundbite number two still doesn't have any votes. Dr. Graham Hunter, where he agrees with atheist Sam Harris. Soundbite number three has one vote. Father Donald Armstrong, as his church leaves the Episcopal Church USA, some of his thoughts on the irony of dealing with that church's leadership. They put their canon law over scripture. They refuse to submit to the authority of the Anglican Communion, but they insisted that others submit to their authority. Then there's soundbite number four, DB, another caller, on what question he thinks would be best to ask a presidential candidate. Essentially, what hill are you willing to die on? It's got three votes from you, our listeners, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Roy's there in his car. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I got to go with number three, with the Episcopalian priest, because, as you know, I used to be one, and they just don't believe what they preach, teach, and confess.
So you can sympathize with Father Donald Armstrong, can you, Roy?
Absolutely. I know a lot of local people in St. Louis that have done the same thing.
All right, Roy, thank you very much. You know, you can also pick it because of sympathy. You've been through it yourself. You know exactly what someone's talking about. All sorts of reasons for choosing these soundbites. One of these soundbites is Your Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm going to wait on the vote totals until the very last minute. Okay, because check the email if you would, Jeffy. There might be someone who slips in under the wire. I didn't know we were developing a theme here. These things are completely unintentional. But yes, one of our earlier callers pointed out that all of them, in one way or another, kind of critique lukewarm, or let's just use the word that we're more familiar with, liberal Christianity. Whether it be in Kathy's soundbite, the person who says, I'm a Roman Catholic, but, or I'm a Baptist, but, or whether it be that lukewarm Christianity that, as Jesus says, and even Sam Harris, the atheist, realized, Jesus says, you're good for nothing. And an atheist can see it. Or whether it is the lament of a pastor who's labored in the vineyard for so long only to find out that his foreman in the vineyard is more concerned about the rules of the road than the clear word of God. Who would you give the book to, Jeff? I think let's give the book to Steve this time. He gets Easter Is For Me. Thanks to everybody who voted. And soundbite number 4-1. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.